We continue Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, our series of shiurim about Pinui HaMes. One of the halachas that we said when you were allowed to be Mefana Mes is if when the Mes was buried, there was a condition set that he would be taken to Eretz Yisrael or to another place. And there was a situation where somebody was buried. Ramashi discusses in Yerodeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, where somebody was buried in a different burial place than he was intended to be buried. It was right before Shabbos, the Levaya, and they buried him quickly there, and his children now come and say that when they buried him, they made a condition that he should be buried elsewhere in a family plot. But it's 17 years since that happened. So the question that Ramosh discusses is the fact that it took them 17 years to want to move him, does that mean that obviously they decided to leave him there, and therefore the original t'nai that they made becomes bottle? So he says, certainly not. Once that condition was made to bury him elsewhere, so the reason you're not allowed to move him is because it looks like a zilzal. But if when they buried him, they made that tonight, so the fact that it took them so long to go back doesn't mean anything. And he says more than that. He says, why indeed, if somebody makes a tonight, if the family makes a tonight, b'shas the kvura, are you allowed to be mefana the meis? He says, because if that tonight is made at the time of the kvura, it makes that the burial is not considered a kviyistig burial. It's considered like a temporary burial. That doesn't change with years. It's a din in the moment of the burial. And since that's what was their intention, that is enough to be allowed to move them. And moreover, a very interesting psak, he says, not only if they had a tanai at the time of the burial, that allows the body to be moved, but he says even a bigger chiddush. He says that let's say when they made that tanai, they had intention to take the nifter to a certain place, and now they don't want to take him to the place that they originally intended to take him to. They want to take him elsewhere. It doesn't change the halacha. You're still allowed to move him. But what? Because since there was a tanai, and the explanation is very understandable based on what we're explaining, he's saying since at the time of the burial, it was not their intention to, since there was intention to move him, so as we're learning, that makes it into a tanai, a non-permanent kvura, and therefore it can be moved even to a different place than they originally had in mind. Ramosha there, in Simen Kuf Nun Hei, discusses a different question. He says there was a person who was living in Toronto, and obviously, unfortunately, got sick, and his wife now comes and says that even though he died in Toronto and was buried in Toronto, he always asked to be buried in Montreal, because really Montreal was the community where he lived all the years, and that's where he had most of his family. So now after 4 years from when she buried him in Toronto, she says she says that she's getting terrible dreams that her husband keeps on coming to her, her deceased husband keeps on coming to her and telling her that, "I asked you to bury me in Montreal. Why did you bury me in Toronto, move me to Montreal?" So the question is, what is the halacha? So the first question is, does she have namanas? So Moshe says, there's no reason not to believe her. It's expensive to move a nefter. And why is she now saying it, if not that it was truly the case? If what she's saying is true, how could we follow such a woman? This woman didn't follow her husband's request. Her husband requested that when he died, he should be buried in Montreal, and she buried him in Toronto. So he says, on the contrary, the fact that she's now coming and saying this means that she realized that she did something wrong. So even though Ramosha says the dream that she's claiming she has is not something that we really follow in halacha, but certainly it can't be disregarded. I ask Ramosha, and he quotes a Shoyle Meshiv, why do we believe her? Why, if indeed it was her husband's request that he be buried in Montreal, so why didn't she say so when she buried him? So he says as follows. He says, when a person says something later that isn't contradictory necessarily to what she did or said earlier, then we could believe her. It's not when she buried him in Toronto, she said, "My husband wanted to be buried in Toronto." She didn't say anything. And therefore, since she didn't say anything, we can, and now she says that that was really the request of my husband, we can believe her. Ramosha there in the Chelek Beis, in Siman Kufin and Tess, has a different situation. Apparently, where there was a Mokum Kever sold to a specific woman, which that place is next to the resting place of her husband. This woman who bought this Kever next to her husband, name was Becky Wiener. A couple of years later, a different woman who had a similar name, her name is Esther Wiener, her children came after Esther Wiener passed away. The children came to the people who run the cemetery, said, "Mrs. Wiener is the name of this person who passed away. She's the one that owned this plot and fooled the Chevra Kedisha. And this woman, whose name is Esther Wiener and certainly didn't own that plot, was buried there." Like that, the family did not have to pay for a plot. Now, Becky Wiener, who does own that plot, becomes aware of what happened, and she's demanding that Esther Wiener, who was buried there improperly, should be removed. A, because it's her place, and B, because she says it's a terrible embarrassment that a different woman should be buried next to her husband. particularly since this woman was buried there under such dishonest motives. So he says that certainly under these circumstances, this body may be moved. And not only may the body be moved, even if the family who did this terrible act of deception now comes and says that they're ready to pay for the place where she was buried, they still should move this person who was buried there improperly, because it's an embarrassment to this woman's husband that she was, that a different woman is buried next to him. Moreover, the cost of moving the body should be borne by the family of Esther Wiener. He says, if they're not willing to pay, then the Chevra Kedisha should pay. And Rav Moshe says, even though, as we discussed in our shiurim, there are very serious issues involved in moving a mess, he says, when it's done for the cover of the mess, we're sure that the mess was meichel, and therefore, under such circumstances, you may move the mess. In general, there are many tshuvas by the Paiskim regarding the Shaila where a man and a woman weren't buried in the right place, and may we move that person, and under what circumstances can we move them? Ramosha and Igris Moshe, Yerodea Chelik Aleph, Simon Resh Mem Aleph, discusses where a man was buried next to a woman who's not his wife. Are they allowed to move that man for that reason? He says it's an embarrassment for the man, it's embarrassment for the woman. It was done by mistake by the Chevra Kedisha, and therefore he considers it a shas atchak, and was certainly allowed to move the nifter under those circumstances. Rav Moshe has a tshuva regarding a similar shaila in Yerodea Chel Gimel Simen Kuf Memches, and Rav Moshe also takes the position that even if we'll say that it's not usur to have a man and a woman buried next to each other, a couple who's not married, still it involves a terrible embarrassment, and therefore you can move them. It's interesting, however, to point out that the Tzitz Eliezer, as we discussed in an earlier shiur, and the Evan Yaakov in the back of Simon, and back of Chel K, Shalos Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer. So he is very interesting. On one hand, he has a much more lenient approach than Rav Moshe regarding the right to move a nifter because you want to bring him closer to his family. Rav Moshe is only makel under certain conditions. Tzitz Eliezer is much more makel under almost all situations. But in this shaila, he's stricter than Rav Moshe, because he feels that this entire issue of burying a man next to a woman is just a minig, and if there's adequate separation between the man and the woman, that is all that's really what the halacha requires, and therefore this should not be a reason to so quickly move a nifter.